praise, give him glory tonight. Thank him. Thank him. I actually feel like if I'm not preaching tonight, and that's just fine. Hallelujah. But there's nothing like his presence.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. And seeking you like a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. You are the treasure. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my
give up, I'll be a fool. You are my
Ara.
Oba ti ki re.
Da lo da bi re o.
Alatara.
Ope.
Nothing we can trade for your tangible presence. Nothing like it in the whole wide world. Thank you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for honoring us with that tangible presence. We appreciate you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me first start by welcoming everybody tonight. Welcome tonight. Welcome if you are online also. You are welcome to the second day of the halftime renewal. I'm sure God has something in store for you. Hallelujah. And let me welcome especially the Okwagmo people. Wave your hands where you are. Hallelujah. Good to see you. Let me also welcome very specially the Ibadan people. So Pastor Olaji Ajobo, their resident pastor, Surpassing Grace Assembly, Ibadan. You're welcome. Good to have you around. Pastor Professor. That they said she's professor, not they said. Amen. Amen. She's just become professor and we appreciate that, recognize, thank God, honor, and thank God for your life. Amen. So she's professor of sociology at the University of Ibadan. Amen. The first. Amen. The first. Eh? And no. Actually, she's also the first female HOD they've had in that department since 19 what? 58 years. So the first female head of department in 58 years. God wants to do things that have not been done before with you. Can I have an amen? You know, in Psalm 71 verse 7, the psalmist said, I am as a wonder to many. He said, but you, O Lord, are my strong refuge. Basically, you are my secret. Amen. So he's saying, I'm as a wonder to many, but you, O God, are my secret. So the reason why we are talking about the things we're saying, even these days, and like I was saying yesterday, is that God is that secret that we have. So we must treasure our relationship with him. Can I have an amen? Of course, Pastor BJ came with Sister Rinke. Amen. His wife. Wave. Let them. Wave. I know you're tired. Just wave. Uh-huh. We came with Sister Rinke, and we have Sister Esther back there. Don't worry, I've been plotting. Pastor Peter is looking at me with bad eyes. He's looking at me with bad eyes. I've been plotting how to bring her here. Pastor, don't worry, we'll work something out. Amen. And of course, Brother Ike is also here. Please give them a round of applause and welcome them. Go with me very quickly, if you will, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, I have just a few minutes. Luke chapter 10. Just don't worry, I won't go very long tonight. Despite the timing now. So, well, we're going to read Luke chapter 10. So we've been talking about keeping on track and managing distractions. And Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says, Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him, talking about Jesus, into a house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Amen. So yesterday, basically, I went from 1 Kings chapter 20, and I was drawing the fact that when you are speaking about keeping on track, it means that there must be something you are meant to be focused on. So yesterday was a bit more emphasis on the focus. You know, what should I be focused upon? Because we can only talk about distractions when there is a focus, when there's something that's supposed to be the main thing in my life. And there are many things we could be talking about. Basically, from 1 Kings 20, we heard the story of a man who supposedly was given charge to guard somebody by his master. And he said, but I was busy here and there, and the man got away. The master was displeased. He wasn't impressed that the guy was busy. He was displeased. And it would look like, but the guy was very busy. You know, so the master wasn't an evil master. The master was only displeased because he was thinking, I gave you one task. You know, and that one task should supersede everything else that you are busy doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So no matter what, how busy you are, a big question that we must always keep at the top of our minds at all times is, what is God asking me to do? Are you hearing what I'm saying? What's God's plan for my life? What's God's will for me? Go to Ephesians chapter 5. We read something in Ephesians 5, but it wasn't really what I was going for yesterday. So Ephesians chapter 5. And I was saying that the will of God ought to be very, very, very important to you as a child of God. So that's the starting point. That's the bottom line. That's the foundation of anything about distractions. When he said, and I'm sure many people have heard it before, that the Bible, I mean, Jesus was using parables and all that, and he says that in that last day, when the master judges, he will say, well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. So that's very important. He's saying, one, he's good. He's saying, number two, he's what? Faithful. Can I hear you say faithful? Faithful is very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says that now the people should consider us as stewards of the mysteries of Christ, servants of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. He said, now above all things, it is required that the steward or the servant be found what? Faithful. Can I hear you say faithful one more time? Now, faithful means that I am doing what I was asked to do. Are you hearing me? So he's saying, above all things, it is required that the servant of Christ be found faithful. So what is it that he has laid before you and he has asked you to do? That's going to be the most important thing. Are you hearing me? It's not anything else that you feel like doing. You can do many things. And I always say to people that, look, God gives different talents to different people. To some, he gave 5. To another, he gave 2. To another, he gave 1. Each one according to their ability. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there are many things that we can do. But inside of the many things you can do, the one thing or the will of God must be central in whatever you are doing. Are you with me? If we went further, and I believe that's in Ephesians. No, that's not Ephesians. I think, that's skipping my head now. It was given instructions. I think that's the book of Colossians. And then he began to tell people, he began to talk about children, he began to talk about masters, then he talked about bond servants. Okay? And he says you should serve not as high pleasers, but you should serve as though you are doing, or you are serving the Lord. He said, because the Lord is the master that you are serving. What that says to me all of the time, and you should read that in the Passion Translation. What that says to me all of the time is that, because in the Passion Translation, all the others talk about bond servant, talk about slaves and all of that, but the Passion Translation says the employee.
And what he's saying is that even as an employee, you must be able to find the will of God inside of what you are doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must be able to say, this I am doing for God. So it means that it doesn't really matter what somebody does to you or not. You are there because you are accountable to God. It doesn't matter whether they can see you or not. You are doing everything you are doing because you are accountable to God first and foremost. Your boss will fire you if you don't do right. But you are first and foremost accountable to God. And what that does is that it ensures that you are an excellent. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are an excellent person at work. Remember I was saying that if you follow the principles of Christ, it will work for you in the workplace. The instructions in the word. And that's why we were saying yesterday that if you spend enough time with God, you will get everything you need. That's why when Jesus was going to simplify it in Luke chapter 10 that we read, he said only one thing is necessary. What is the one thing? Spend time with him. Because when you do, you get everything you need downloaded in his presence. Hallelujah. I was listening to a gentleman. I was in a meeting. I ministered one day, came ministered the next day, and he's the pastor of Covenant Nation in the UK, and he's an anesthetist. So he was sharing how he became the head of department. You know, he had been made the head of department in the hospital, in fact, a group of hospitals there. And he said he had to just start asking God, God, what do I do? What do I do that will make an impact in the lives of these people? He said because they would do Salah and do whatever, people put posters on the wall, you know about Salah. He said he wanted to pull it down. God said, don't pull it down. He said, don't worry, Easter is coming. When Easter arrives, splash your own all over the place. He said, because if you put this one down, you won't be able to do that one. So he followed that. And then he said, God, if people have been, this place has existed for decades. What will I do differently? And God told him, God said, first, look at all the HODs that have been before you that are still there. He said, buy them presents and appreciate all of them. He said, when he did that, some were crying. In the meeting, they were crying, weeping. And people began to speak shortly after that we have never had this kind of HOD before. The things that he began to implement, the support he had, the unity he brought to the place and all of that, he said people began to speak. I'm saying to you that we must find that will of God in everything. Can I have an amen? Ephesians chapter 5. You should have found it by now. If you haven't, don't worry. Ephesians 5 verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Jump to verse 10. It said, what? How do you walk as children of light? Finding out. Can I hear you say finding out? Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. The old King James says, finding out the will of God. Finding out. So it's the responsibility of the believer to find out. It must be an intentional thing that you want to find out. So, like I said to you, you must have a focus and know. And the reason is because God said to us, and we'll read that, Psalm 139, verse 15, 16. He said, before you were formed, before I was formed in the womb, you knew me. You know, and before I was born, all of my days were written in your books. Even before there was the very first one of them. And I always like to say that God is so intentional and has such a detailed plan that he doesn't just have a plan for my destiny. He has a plan for my every day towards the destiny. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Psalm 139, 15, 16. God has a detailed plan, meaning that every day he has a plan that this guy is supposed to go to this place. He's supposed to see this person. He's supposed to say this to that person. He's that detailed. And it's my job to wake up every day and find out and say, God, here I am. I want to walk in your will. Are you hearing me? And that's why we begin that day with him. Psalm 5 verse 3. He said, in the morning, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will look up to you. What does that mean? It means that when I go before him in the morning and I'm beginning to pray, what I'm doing is that I'm tuning to him. And I'm saying, hey, for today, I'm going to walk based on the signals from above. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That time spent in his presence ensures that I am tuned ready to receive the signals for the day.
Hallelujah.
But that ensures that I change my direction, or I attune myself to him to say everything I will accomplish today will be by you. And then he will begin to guide your steps. You will find that he will lay people on your mind. In fact, these days, I've stopped trying to note it, but it brings people to my mind. My phone rings. The moment it brings somebody to my mind, or the person comes to see me, or whatever, and I just keep laughing. That God is so detailed that he's already talking about that person even before the person calls. Are you still with me? So if we have the details right, God expects us to behave like soldiers. He expects us to be quite focused, and we refuse and reject distractions in our lives. I was saying yesterday that the biggest challenge we have is not that many times people don't know what they're supposed to do or be doing, but it's because other things are added on top. So almost like the person who said, I was having double vision. So she can see what she's supposed to see, but she's seeing extra. The extra means that she cannot make any steps because now there are too many things she's seeing, so she's not even sure which is the right one anymore. Are you with me? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2:3. It said, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself. Please note the choice of word. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, so that he may please him that enlisted him. Are you there? I'm going to read that in one or two other translations. New Living Translation says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ. What I want you to note is that he compares you to a soldier. I'm happy he did use the word soldier, not police. Amen. I'm happy he used soldier. Because we all associate a lot of, you know, discipline and rigor with soldiers. Amen. Even just the dressing alone. When you see the way they dress and they make sure that the khaki is so ironed that the gaiters, as we say, it can cut your hand, and you look at the boot, they will tell you, shine the boot. You must be able to see your face in it. You know, and the discipline that everything takes. He said we should be like the good soldier. It says soldiers in NLT. It says verse 4, soldiers don't get tied up. Can I hear you say tied up? They don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. For then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. The challenge we're having is that we're being tied up. Are you with me, anybody? We're being tied up. We're carried away with the issues of life. We're entangled with the affairs of this life. That's why he was talking Matthew chapter 13. He was talking about, and Mark chapter 4. He was talking about the parable of the sower. And he said one of the reasons why the word does not produce is that sometimes that word is sown among thorns. What was the thorns when Jesus was going to explain it? He said they are the cares of this life. Are you hearing me? The cares of this life. He said they enter in and they choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, God knows you need these things. Okay? God understands all of our needs. He knows, and that's why Jesus was speaking to us about prayer. Isn't it? And he was talking about prayer, and he says you don't need vain repetition. He said, because your heavenly Father knows what you need. So if that's the case, and if that's the situation, what is he talking about then? He's saying that when you carry these things too much on your head, they become distractions. Are you still there? I need to move very quickly tonight because of time, so I won't say too much. But one of the things you need to realize, if you look at our text again in Luke chapter 10, is that
Martha was busy. But Jesus called it what? Distracted with too many things. There are many things when you begin to talk about distractions that you will say are understandable. Okay? There are some that are not very understandable that you can easily point out and say, look, why are you distracted with this? Why are you distracted with that? Sin will distract you, for instance. Are you still there? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, it says, let us lay aside every sin and every weight that does so easily beset you and run the race that is set before you. One says the race that is marked out for you. So there is a race marked out just for you. It says, but the sin will hold you back. The sin will form a distraction. So sin is a distraction. Things that people possess. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland some time ago, and he was talking about the fact that they had a house. They had a country home, small country home. He said, but they got the place because they thought to themselves, whenever they had a little free time, they needed a place to run to, where they could have peace and quiet, far away from hustle and bustle of city life, and they can just rest and pray. Just rest and pray. You know, he said, but after a while, he and his wife sat down, they realized that every time they went there, they spent all the time on maintenance. Are you with me? Now, every time they got there, he said they had too many things there, too many gadgets and what have you. And if you are not coming often, he said, so you get there, this one is not starting. You will spend one day trying to repair it and make sure that it works. It's not generator, there's light. But you just have many things. You have acquired many things. And he said he just found out that if you had 4 days, you spend the 4 days going from one thing to the other, and they were not achieving that goal of spending time with God. He said, so one day they sat down, they said, you know what? We have too many things. We're going to get rid of them. He said, so they gave them all out. He said, because we are not here for this. We don't need all these things. That's not why this place exists. This place exists so that we can spend time with God. Are you with me? There are many people that need to look at it and say, there are too many things. Mark chapter 10, Matthew 19, a rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, Master, what will I do to be saved? And Jesus said, you need to obey the commandments. He said, I've obeyed them since I was a youth. And he said, well, only one thing remains. He said, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And the Bible says the guy went away sad because he had many possessions. So very often, the many possessions that we have become a distraction. The disciples were wondering and they asked Jesus about it later because Jesus said to them, look, when he went away, Jesus then said to them, he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. And then they said, ha, who then can be saved? That probably means that they were rich people. They probably were rich people. Otherwise, they say, huh? You see? Okpeo, we could don't have anything. But then they say, who then can be saved? But what was Jesus saying? That sometimes you can have so many things that the things have you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody once said that the phones we have are nothing but weapons of mass destruction. Are you there? And then if you're like me, you have two. Sometimes you have three. I've met people who had four. And they carry four phones. Some people even carry a purse for the four phones that they have to carry. Are you hearing? So an extra purse just for the phones. And then when you sit down, you are going from one to the other, to the other, to the other. So they said they are weapons of mass destruction. Are you there? But think about this tonight, which is that there are what I call legitimate distractions. Because in Luke chapter 10 that we read, the Bible said that Martha was distracted with much serving. That didn't seem very fair. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, because if Jesus walks into any house today and brings with himself the 12 fishermen that usually followed him, you will do much serving. Very likely. Am I saying the truth?
If Jesus came to your house, will you not serve him? Eh? You will, Abby. And not only will you serve him, you go and bring out the china that is at the very top of the wardrobe, the one that you have not used for 2 years. And then you have to cook enough for 12 fishermen. 12 fishermen don't eat like Alakowe. Eh? If you know what I mean. When they eat, they eat. When they eat, you will know they eat. Eh? When they are done, you know they have eaten. You will feel it. Your cupboard will feel it. Your store will feel it. Your pot will feel it. So when the Bible says that she was distracted with much serving, it doesn't sound very fair to her. Because the serving seemed very necessary. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But yet Jesus calls it distraction. Because anything that takes away from the time you should spend with him and his purpose for your life is nothing but a distraction. Somebody said, if you are too busy to pray, then you are too busy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'll say it again. If you are too busy to pray, you are too busy. You need to fix it. Are you still there? Let me try to wrap it up on Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, go there very quickly. Matthew chapter 5. Are you following me tonight? I'm giving you an abridged version. That's a very short, synchronized version. But I believe God is saying something to us. Matthew 6, rather. Why am I saying the wrong chapters? Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll read it from verse 24. So remember, I'm talking about your legitimate distractions. The things that seem necessary, but maybe they are not as necessary as we think that they are. Are you still there? The things that we rush around for, we abandon everything for, because we think that this is so urgent, this is so important, and all of that. But then we end up later discovering that thing could have still happened. Maybe it even would have happened better than it did. Are you hearing me? If we spent a little time. I was telling somebody recently, you know, we're looking at some things at work, at the office. So this is secular. And I was saying, you know, sometimes it seems like I'm slow. I said, but it's because I'm waiting for a download. So when you are saying things, you are saying, let's do this, we need to do this, we need to do that. I said, sometimes I just seem like I'm not moving. I said, but I'm waiting for the right inspiration. I'm waiting to get the right signals. I'm waiting to get, I said, because once I get it, it will work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Once I can figure that out, once I can download it from him, then it will work. You know, when they were going to build a ship, the very first ship in the Bible, very big ship, it was built by Noah, that we have on record. Noah was not a ship builder. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But God gave Noah a download of how to build a ship that could contain every species of animal on earth and not sink. Thousands of years later, somebody built a huge ship. Thousands of years later, with all the expertise in the world, built a huge ship, and he said, even God himself cannot sink this ship. And that ship sank on the first trip. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But Noah, thousands of years before, no experience, no knowledge, no university education, he wasn't an engineer, but he sat down and he built a ship. Are you still with me? The Bible said David, he built musical instruments. Read your Bible very well. He built musical instruments so that they could use them to worship God. He was the king, but he was there designing musical instruments that would be used to worship God. I think it was Solomon then also that the Bible spoke about, or is it David, that he said he wrote 3,000 songs. That was Solomon. So Solomon, his son, wrote 3,000 songs and 1,005 proverbs. And then the Bible says he spoke about trees, so he was a botanist. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking about the value of knowing God, the value of walking with God. Are you still there, anybody? You will. That's why the psalmist said, "I know more than my teachers, because your word is my meditation. Because I spend time with you, so there are things you will know. You will answer. I'm doing one online course, and I'm doing two, one on French, one English. So the English one teach English, and." I remember the first unit of it. I did the thing. I'd done it over a long time, and then it says test. I say, hey. When I opened, got to it again sometime, and it said test. I said, test. Am I ready for test? I said, the life of God. So I wrote the test. I got 93%. I said, oh, yeah, let's go. Yeah? Let's do all the units. I can fire everything. Are you with me? If you stay with God, it was saying in Psalm 18, did we read that this morning when we were praying? Psalm 18, it said, by my God, I can run through a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. There is no limitation. Hallelujah. Okay, so Matthew chapter 5, is that where I am? Matthew chapter 6. Okay, why am I saying 5? Okay, but it shows that you are awake. Amen. And you are alert. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6. So let's read from verse 24. It said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon just means wealth or riches. Therefore, I say to you, whenever you see the word therefore, think about what it is therefore. Okay? So it's linked to what he just said. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Let me stop for a moment. So when he says you can't serve God and riches, I'm talking about your legitimate distractions, which are the needs that we have. I need this, I need that, so I'm doing four jobs, I'm doing five businesses and all of that. It's legitimate. It's needed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The only thing is that it must not take away from time spent with God, because you need God to help you in those things. Are you there? So when he says, every time people read verse 24 and it talks about the fact that you cannot serve God and riches, most people will say, oh, thank God, that doesn't apply to me. But then when he says, therefore, he's telling you how people begin to serve riches. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's telling you what happens, what's the process, what makes people eventually begin to serve riches, begin to walk and chase riches, and don't say, oh, I don't do money. It's not money trap we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that people can change a job, people can move from one place to the other without trying to find out the will of God because they are serving riches. Are you with me? And how does it begin? He said, therefore, do not worry. It begins with that worry. That worry is the distraction. That worry about your needs, that concern, that anxiety about the legitimate needs of your life is dangerous. Are you there? And it says, if you look at that verse, in verse 25, it says, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink. But definitely, I need to eat and I need to drink. I don't know about you. Yeah? But I need something to eat. I need something to drink. But then he says, don't also worry about what you will put on. I definitely need something to put on. Are you still there? But then he makes a statement. He said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He's saying, if God is able to preserve you and keep you alive, he's done even a bigger thing for you, that you should be able to trust him with those mundane things of food and drink and clothing. Are you hearing me? He's saying if he's able to keep you from day to day and you are trusting that, I mean, just like the psalmist said in Psalm 4 and verse 8, he said, I slept and I woke up because the Lord kept me. And if he's able to keep me and I'm sleeping and I'm waking up simply because he kept me, why am I worrying about food? Are you still there? Good. So let's continue. Verse 28 says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So again, just speaking to that fact that I just said, that if he's taking care of all of those things that are easily cut down and thrown away and all of that, and yet he's keeping you alive, then how much more do you think that God would give you? You know, I still remember, I think it was Remy's testimony yesterday, saying that I was just thinking about clothes. I was just thinking about clothes. I was in school and I was thinking, I want clothes, I want shoes. And God said, write it down. I wrote it down. I want clothes, I want shoes. He said, and forgot about it, got home and met a box of clothes and shoes, which an uncle she hadn't heard of in ages sent, and she hasn't heard of after. Abibeko. So God is able to send clothes and shoes. I think Pastor Divine was saying that the other day too. I was running around. Somebody said, oh, please go and help me carry this and this luggage and all that and take it to this place. And all. And when we finally carried everything there, the guy says, your own. Full of clothes. Are you hearing me? God can change your wardrobe in a day. That's not very difficult for God to do. Are you following what I'm saying? So the worry, anxiety over those things form your legitimate distractions. They are legitimate, but they are distractions. Verse 31 says, therefore, do not worry. Look at your neighbor. Say, please do not worry. Say to somebody else, and say, do not worry. Oh. Because the East Africans told me that we always say, oh. They were the first people who said it to me, and I said, oh, that's true. They say, Nigerian, how are you? Are you still there? Turn to somebody again and say, do not worry. Oh. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? He said, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, that is those who don't know God, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But what do I do? He says, seek ye what? First. Can I hear you say first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. The word added means to lay upon. Seek ye first. I always like to point out and say that the key word in that verse is the word first. It's not seek ye God and his kingdom and every other thing shall be added. It's seek ye first. If God has his first place, if God's purpose has his first place, if time with God has the first place with you, then all the other things will be added. Hallelujah. You know, these days we don't even hear of Jara anymore. Eh? Even Pastor BJ said, for where? Jara for where? You know, because when I was growing up, we'd go and buy raw share. We buy raw share. There are two types of raw share. It's what? Akara and donut. So all of them sold from a bicycle. And as the guy is going and blowing his horn, pee, 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 you hear raw share, raw share, raw share, raw share. And then we will raw share. You know, I was driving one day and I was remembering, you know, on your birthday, my dad would say, because my birthdays will fall on holiday periods in school. And he'll say, what do you want? I say, donut. Because I know raw share will come. And he'll give me money to buy it. And then you'll buy, you know, the guy will pile it, buy. And he'll say, okay, Jara. Then he will look at you, Jara. He will put the fucking pick another two, drop it in there. I say, yay! That is what it means to hard. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God says that if you will seek first the kingdom of God
and his righteousness, then he will add Jara to your life. Jara is that which I didn't pay for. Are you hear what I'm saying? I paid for what he gave me initially, but the Jara I didn't pay for, it was an extra that came free of charge. Are you still hearing what I'm saying? And God is saying what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on will come as an extra free of charge if you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If God has his first place. So people are seeking God, but they're not seeking him first. Are you hearing me? And they go to church when it's convenient. They pray when it's convenient. When they don't feel like. If I wake up late, I pray. Or I don't pray. If I wake up early enough, I will spend some time praying. That's convenience. That's not seeking him first. The person who says, I woke up late and I couldn't pray, had time to eat. Are you following what I'm saying? But Job said, I have treasured his words more than my necessary food. I had a friend years ago who said, if I have not prayed, I can't eat breakfast. He said, I told myself that that's the way it is. If I have not prayed and spent time with God, I will not eat breakfast. That's putting him first. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That if all the time is just for one thing, then that one thing will be time spent in God's purpose. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So look at verse 33 again. That's where we're ending it. It says, therefore, do not worry. Verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you. NLT version says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Above all else. What are the else or elses that you have in your life? And where does God rank among them? I always like to say to people that if you look at the timetable of your week, how you determine and plan your time is that you put God where God should be first. You know, put God where God should be every morning, maybe 5 a.m., maybe 6 a.m., put God there first. After that, the other things come after. If it's a Wednesday or maybe a Thursday here, you put God there in the evening because there's an evening service. And I have an amen. If it's a Sunday morning, you put God there. Also for that week. If you belong to a group in a church and you have some rehearsals or some work to do, you put God there first. Now, after you have filled in all of the God spaces in your life, you now look at what is left and say, let me put in every other thing in all the remaining spaces. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What we have done is the direct opposite. We have put every other thing in. And then we start looking for space for God. Oh, I don't have time. I can't be there. I can't be in service. Oh, I couldn't pray because I don't have time. Oh, I can't evangelize. I don't have time. Oh, I can't. All of the things that God has asked of you. We start looking for the time to do those things after we have found time for everything else. Are you hearing me? So it's about thinking. How do you manage your distractions? You have to manage your thinking. Are you following me? You have to manage your thoughts. You have to manage, because somebody pointed out that the battlefield is the mind. Whatever engages and occupies your mind will occupy your life. Are you hearing me? That's why I said, therefore, do not worry. Don't take that worry for granted because it's about to take all of the space in your life. But if you will manage that thinking, that's why he was saying in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, he said, whatever things are good, lovely, edifying, of good report, he said, you fix your mind on those things. My emphasis is on fix your mind. Can I hear you say fix your mind? It means that you don't allow your mind to just go in any direction. We must take it very seriously.
in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, he was talking about pulling down strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. So we pull down the strongholds in our mind. We pull down the thoughts in our mind. We bring everything in subjection to Christ. Everything must be brought in subjection to him. Every thought must be brought in subjection to him. If you can manage your mind, you will manage your distractions. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you can manage your mind, you will manage your distractions. If you can sit back and look at it, what are the things occupying my mind and where are they coming from? And you begin to deal with those issues, begin to take care of them from the roots, then you will manage the distractions. Are you still there? I dare say to you, it's not very difficult to serve God. It's not very difficult to walk with God. It's not very difficult to know God more and more. The challenge is what we do with our minds. And we must learn how to cut things short. When a worry is rising, when anxiety is rising, we must learn how to speak. He said, do not worry, saying. The old King James says, therefore take no thought, saying. So we own those thoughts. We allow them to take over our lives when we begin to say them. So the way we begin to worry about something and then we begin to speak those worries all of the time. We begin to discuss the worry all of the time. And then it takes over us and over our lives. There are many people who will sit up. They'll wake up in the morning and they will sit for 1 hour. And just worry. They're not praying, they're just worrying. They will worry about themselves, worry about work, worry about family, worry about this, and then they will start worrying even for other people. You know, when I was in medical school, I had some people worried for me. They worried for me more than I worried for myself. So at a point, I stopped going to check my results on the board because they will tell me. When they go, they will go and check mine even before their own. So I just say, okay, so what did I get? Are you there? You'll have to manage your mind. Manage your thoughts. Let's stand on our feet. That's where everything comes together. Even the weapons of mass destruction, the telephones and all that. That's where it all comes together. It's simply about something that occupies your mind. It's about the fact that the social media is running on your mind. You're thinking about what's new. Abi? And every time they open Facebook, it says, what's on your mind? And then you're wondering what's on everybody's mind. And then sometimes also you posted something you are worried about, or you won't use the word worry, but that's what it is. You're worried about how many likes. So when you wake up, you jump up to go and check the likes. Count the likes and see who is liking. Are you there? From there, you see another post. And from there, you see another post. And from there, you see another post. And before you know it, you have spent 1 hour. And they say, I have to go to work. Are you hearing me? Keep looking straight and smiling like it's not you. Are you there? So just the same tip or secret it gives us in Matthew chapter 5 about the legitimate distractions is the singular tip that work for you for virtually all distractions. Therefore, do not worry. Basically, therefore, don't let unnecessary things occupy your mind. Always think about the will of God first. Always be occupied with the will of God. And like I said, you can find that will of God in everything that you are doing. But always be thinking about it. What's the will of God? What does God want me to do? Are you there? I've said it before, I discovered that God helps me to organize my day. Now when I'm praying, God begins to talk to me about the things I need to do that day. I'm praying and I'm telling God, your glory, God, your glory. And he says to me, send that mail. If Before I thought it was the devil, but soon enough I started realizing God was telling me things. And I would take a piece of paper, put it by the side, and I write it there. Send this mail. I won't send it right there and then, but I'll write it there because God is telling me, prioritize these things for the day. When your day starts, prioritize those things that I'm telling you to do. And I found out that when I've ignored to do that, those things have backfired. And I said to myself, oh, I knew to have sent that thing this morning. Begin to talk to God tonight. Begin to talk to Him tonight. There are things He's told several people to do. And like I said, the will of God is detailed. Things He's told you to do in many areas of life. You know that this is God telling me to do this. It may be in the secular field, but God had told you do this. Because God wants to walk through everything to reveal Himself to people. When the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon, the Bible says that she said, this is the wisdom and the glory of God. What did she see? She saw the way they laid the table. She saw what the servants wore. So God wants to express Himself through everything. He wants people to look at everything that you are involved in and everything you are doing, and ultimately they should find God. But they will find God only if you find the will of God, even in those things. I want you to commit everything. Commit your life as a whole to God. And say, Lord, use me. Our ambition is not to be millionaires and billionaires. We will be. Hallelujah. But that's not the ambition. The ambition is to display God. Our goal is to display God, is to reveal God to people through all that we do. So you say, Lord, help me. Help me, help me, help me. Help me to separate my time and separate purpose from the distractions. Help me to find your will in all that I'm doing. And help me to stay focused on your will. Faithful God, oh faithful God, you lifted me and you uphold my cause. You gave me life, you guide my life, you're always there, you're a faithful God. Faithful God, oh faithful God, you lifted me and you upon my God. You gave meeting, I felt that God laid some things on your heart.
Mengende tutosa hantalia frahate, mengladuso taya, kadadoso sada frekatia taya, imla tutose tefretina katia salika labrahate, Rande basate prakate fesuso professor kataya brahasa sofre hatalia kadabosa. You have come to the end of that season, and you have come to the beginning of another. In the name of Jesus, one chapter has been closed, and another chapter has been opened. It is a fresh page, a new page. It is a new day, and that day has dawned. It's the day you have waited for. You have longed for it. You have desired it. You have longed, you have yearned for it. You have prayed for it. You have pictured it. And now the day is here. The time is now. The season has come. In an acceptable time, the Lord has heard you. And in the day of salvation, your help has come, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Give God praise. If you were here this morning, you know that's just continuations, appendix. Hallelujah. Arise and shine. Hallelujah. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It's a new day, it's a new chapter. Father, we give you glory, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you adoration. Well, I hope they got it, because I was saying something when I was speaking, and I knew it was specifically for somebody, but I'm trying to recall it. I can't recall what I was saying. But whoever it is, I know you get it. Hallelujah. You know that was for you. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We are grateful. Grateful, grateful, grateful. I believe also somebody's ankle. Yesterday, I didn't talk about it, but I believe somebody's ankle, left ankle, was particularly repaired. Hallelujah. And fixed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We magnify you. We give you glory and praise. Anybody else who has a need, just put your hand on your chest, or if it's a physical need, put your hand wherever that is, and let's just believe God that God will touch you right where you are, and your will be healed. Father, thank you. Do that which only you can. Let your power rest upon your people even now. Cause a healing and a cure from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Thank you also because needs are met. Doors are open. The miraculous is there. So thank you because you said when we call upon you, you will do great and mighty things, even things we do not know of. So we thank you for the awesome deeds in righteousness that you do in answer to prayers. We give you praise tonight. We believe we receive it. And so we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You can have your seats.